Thanks for joining us today on Soulful Conversations with Chas and Deb. One of my favorite parts of the day has always been conversations with my friend and spiritual teacher, Deb. In 10 years, we've never run out of things to talk about when it comes to matters of spirituality, recovery, the heart, soul, and ego. I always have the questions, and she always has the answers. So today's topic is an exciting one. We're going to be talking about Deb's first spiritual experience today. So when did this first spiritual experience happen? Tell us about it.
I always feel like words will do it such a disservice. And you know, for so many years, I didn't talk about it at all because I didn't know what happened to me. I can relate to parts of Eckhart Tolle's book where he talks about that. Like, he spent years not knowing what the heck happened to him. Anyway, so it was over 25 years ago that I was having a very bad day. I had a lot of bad days, though my life on the outside looked really nice. I was a supervisor at a mental health facility. My husband and I also had a construction business. We built homes. And he also was a high-rise superintendent. My kids were doing well in school. So career-wise, we're doing well. We had a nice home. Things on the outside looked really good. But my insides were such a mess. I just had so much guilt and shame and self-hatred. And I'd had it probably all my life, but I just never knew how to get rid of it. And I remember I was taking my associate's degree, getting my associate's degree online, and one of the lessons was to write my story. And I had never written my story on paper. I don't even think I journaled up to that point. Yeah, so I didn't write anything, but I did. It was my homework, and I did it. And the pain of looking at my life was so horrendous that day. I just remember throwing myself on the floor and begging God to help me. And I didn't know, you know, I didn't have much faith. Maybe the faith the size of a mustard seed, but I had just enough to know that I didn't have answers anymore and that I had to throw myself at the mercy of something I didn't even understand. And so I did. I remember having the conversation with God, either heal me or take me home, because I don't know how I can bear to do this one more day. That was my conversation. And I guess I went about my day. I can't really tell you, but I went about my day like any day. Nothing had changed. And then I'm pretty certain the next day when I woke up, something incredible had happened. And my understanding of it now, thanks to my therapist in the past, I had spent years not knowing what had happened. And then when I was describing the second awakening that I had, she then referred back to Eckhart Tolle and his experience of the ego dying. So that's what happened. The pain was so great, I think, that the ego just shut down. It just collapsed. I would say the ego probably collapsed. The pain was so horrendous. It couldn't even sustain it anymore. And in the ego collapsing, all I felt was bliss. I felt bliss, just complete bliss. For the first time in my life, I felt free of pain, emotional pain. The first time in my whole life, I felt free. You know, I didn't tell people what was going on. I tried to tell my husband at the time, but I know he had no idea what I was talking about. I didn't even know what I was talking about. I just knew that food had never tasted so good, and every day felt like an adventure, and I'd never been so happy and at peace in my life. And it lasted about a month, I would say. Really don't have good conception of time. But I would say it probably lasted about a month. And I just remember thinking, oh, I hope this feeling doesn't go away. Because going back to my old life and the way that I felt prior to this felt torturous. But probably no sooner than I started to have those thoughts and worry, I was already stepping back into ego again. ego is already working its way back. And then before long after that, I was right back in my crazy mind again. And it was, I have to say, it was the most amazing experience, but it was also very, very painful coming back to this world, because this world didn't feel like reality anymore. I felt like I had got a glimpse of God's world, and in the truest sense, but then I came back to this world, and man, it was hard. And I just remember promising God, like, you know, God, show me the way. Show me the way back here. I will do anything. I will dedicate the rest of my life to helping people. I will continue to better my own self. I will do everything, all the healing I need to do. But I really, this is the way I want to live. And so that was my first experience. And I said it was many years before I would experience it again. It was the second time I experienced it was a little different, because it was during the death of my daughter. It was after she had died, and my mind was kind of in shock. There were times that the pain was too intense and my mind would go into shock, but I started to hear that voice. For the first time I heard the voice telling me things. I didn't really understand that either, other than I thought that it was probably God's voice, because there was no other explanation. It sounded like my voice, but it wasn't my words. They weren't words that I would have ever thought of. So it kind of went in and out of that during the first maybe a couple weeks after Jody died. I can't tell you time frame on that, but it was just kind of in and out. I just remember being at her service, and at the end of the service, there was a long line of people coming to offer their condolences and give hugs. And I remember it was an out-of-body experience. I just remember comforting the people. Like, I knew what to say to the people in line that would comfort them. It was another out-of-body experience that I can't explain. It was when I became familiar with the voice for the first time that told me things about the future, and it gave me hope. So I felt like once again, God had thrown me a life rope. It was the second time. The first time was that dark day that was, I felt suicidal, was the first time I felt like he threw me a life rope. And then the second time after Jody died, I felt that again. So, and then there were two times after that. And looks like time-wise, Chas, I could probably keep going unless you have questions. Do you want to ask me questions?
I was just going to ask, what was the time period between that first and second spiritual experience?
It was a long time. It was, if I got, let's see, I would say probably 11 years, maybe 10, 11 years in between the two. Yep. So during that time, I continued to work on myself, do my healing work, do my inner child work, immerse myself in recovery. There was deep changes happening to me. And I was motivated by that deep desire to return to that place that I had gotten that big glimpse of. That felt more like the life I wanted to be living, not this one.
So were you always trying to get back to that, I guess, that freedom of ego, I guess, is what it was.
Yeah, freedom of ego. No, it's not like I sat around and thought, what can I do to get back there? You can't, you'll never get back there that way. It's never going to happen because you wanted to. It's one of those things you can never predict. You can't make it happen. Not in a million years. So I just had to let go of it. I just prayed that when it did happen, that I didn't it didn't go away next time. That was, and it did. The second time it went away again. And the third time it did. And the fourth time it did, it went away. So, yeah. And each time it got harder and harder to come back here. But, yeah.
What do you think the spiritual experiences, why do you think they happen, though? If it kept getting harder to come back, do you think it was to push you harder to keep letting go?
I think that I just recognize that this isn't the world that I want to be living in. You know, I always think of that saying, in the world, not of the world. And I just, there's just a part of me that desired the other world, not this world. This world feels kind of insane to me. And if I listen to the news, I know it's insane. It just is. And so that freedom of being free of pain. I had so much pain inside of me. So I had to do my work. It wasn't that, you know, I woke up one day and it was all gone. No, I had to get into therapy. And I don't think I budged from therapy for the first 10 years. And sometimes I was in therapy 3 times a week. Like, I just immersed myself in recovery and doing my own healing work, as well as helping others. I helped others along the way, too. That was part of it.
So that first experience just kind of opened you to a whole new world, I guess.
Oh, my goodness. I wish I could give people a glimpse, like even for 5 minutes.
So there's no pain.
Oh, there's absolutely no pain. It's joy.
Not worrying about what people think.
Oh, no. No, no. You don't worry about what people think. You don't worry about anything.
Do you just feel
free?
Free?
You just feel free to be you, free to explore. That was the thing, is I was never one to take big risks. I was never one to explore. And all of a sudden, I started doing things, you know, that I never did before. And it just was effortless. I wasn't scared. I just knew that I was on a new adventure, and I was very excited to experience it. I remember I was working in detox at the time, the detox unit. And, just kind of observing the things that were happening, and yet knowing I was almost like having an out-of-body experience that I couldn't share with anybody because I didn't know how to explain it. I still really don't know how to explain it. It's not something you can really explain. Mm. No. But it was great pain. Both times it was great, great pain that took me there. It was just horrendous pain that just, I guess, the ego collapsed under the weight of the pain. Yeah. And the third time it happened, same thing. It was pain. It was, you know, I guess I had a fear of hospitals that I didn't know I had. And it was a few years after the second experience, and I got really sick and went to the emergency room, and they told me they wanted to keep me and run tests, and everybody had to suit up around me, and they were saying, we don't know if it's deadly. Like, they put the fear of, I don't want to say fear of God, the fear in me. And I never really stayed in a hospital like that other than when I gave birth. And I was very sick. And I just remember, I was on the second or third floor, I just remember looking out the window and telling my partner, if I could jump out that window right now, I think I would, because the fear is so intense. I don't know what to do with it. I do not know how to manage this fear. And I just feel like I want to jump out that window. But I couldn't. Of course, the hospital windows are locked. So it was just wishful thinking at the moment. But and then I remember they were taking me down to the basement. It was like 10 o'clock at night to do a colonoscopy. And I was in complete terror. They had all these IVs hooked up to me. They act like I had this deadly disease that they would die if they got around me. It's just, it felt insane. It felt insane. And then my mind let go again. And then my next experience was laying in the hospital bed, had my essential oils, my pillow, my blanket. I remember the nurses kept coming in and saying, oh, it smells so good in here. We came in here for our break. And I'm thinking, okay. Yeah. And I remember them saying, well, they never found out what was wrong with me, by the way. Tens of thousands of dollars later, they found nothing.
Hey, but you got a spiritual experience out of the deal.
Yeah, so my doctor said, if you'd have come to me first, you'd have never been in the hospital because there was nothing. They were just making you feel worse. And they did. They actually made me sicker with all the antibiotics and stuff they were feeding me through my arms. But, yeah, when they told me that I could go home, I was like, I don't know. This bed is pretty darn comfortable. Like, I didn't care when I went home. Like, I was hooked up. I had my essential oils, I had my pillow, my blanket. I was quite content just laying there in that stupid hospital bed. I didn't care if I went home or when I went home. It sounds crazy, but that's just where you're at. You're just whatever that moment brings you, you treat it like it's a gift. And so it felt like a gift. And yeah, and then I went home and it went on for maybe a couple more weeks and then it left again. And it was so painful when I left. Each time it got more painful because returning to living in that pain and fear again, you don't realize how under the gun you are all the time until you step out of it. And then you come back and it's like even more painful because you're so aware of it. So I think we can stop there. I want to share about the vortex, and I know you have parts you can share about that too. So maybe next time we can do a podcast on the fourth time, the vortex.
Oh, yes. We can do a whole podcast on that.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
I just want to add, so these experiences that you had, do you think that's our soul's natural state?
Oh, yeah, that felt natural. That felt like home. This does not feel like home. That's why I say I keep going back to in the world, not of the world. There's just so many things in this life I do not align with, which makes me look different, but it feels right in my soul. There's just too much insane things happening that I just, no, I can't align with it. The world that I see, the world that I saw, and the world that I choose to see is soft and kind. But again, if you turn on the news, that's not really what you see.
Yeah.
Yeah. But God's world, yeah, it's soft and kind.
So do you think when all this stuff heals, this physical stuff, and for any of us, really, I guess, is the real question, when we heal that stuff, do you think it leads back to that? Do you think that it'll take you back to that experience of being free of the ego?
Yeah, I think that intention is still out there. It's been out there for 25 years. Do I think I will return there? Yes, I do. And do I think it will leave next time again? No, I don't. I don't. I don't think it'll leave again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a good end note.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you so much for sharing this with all of us. And yeah, thank you.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Soulful Conversations with Chas and Deb. For anyone who's interested in exploring more wisdom, check out Deb's blog at debbiecruz.blogspot.com and also one of her several recovery Facebook groups, Codependent No More, Support Group for Women, where you will find access to her other groups and also Zoom recovery meetings, where women get to connect directly and ask questions. Until next time!